Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Yud Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the top line of Daf Yud Beis. Before we begin the shiur, let us glance at the margin where we have our Nosei Mivneh heading, where we feature the topic and structural note in one notation, where you see a bow tie shape featured. This represents Shnei Kushios al Yishuv Hashlishi, Ubesof Nidche number 3. In our previous shiur, we raised a contradiction in sources regarding the din of Tumas Botim, of Nige Botim, with regard to a shul. In one source, we saw on Daf Yud Aleph that a shul is subject to Negoyim, and in another source we saw to the contrary. The last resolution of the three resolutions was, if it's a shul that is owned by a large city, in other words, it's a shul located in a large city, so it's not subject to Negoyim because it's not clear who the owner is. In fact, the shul is used by everybody, not only people from the town itself, but from outsiders as well, as opposed to a shul where that's owned by a kfar, a small village, where it's considered like a bayis mishutof, a house owned by partners, where the ownership is clear. And as such, as we learned in our previous year, it is subject to Negoyim. Now, if you look at our Omid, Yud Beis Omid Aleph, you'll notice we bring into question those assumptions. Hence, bow tie number one asks, is that true that the Krochem Ein Matam B'Negoyim? And lower down, more than halfway down the page, you see point number two is brought into question, Udekfora Mi Matam B'Negoyim, a village-owned shul, is it really subject to Negoyim? And that will be a problem. And as a result, at the end of this sukkah, the Gemara will conclude, and if you can, you can skip down to approximately a quarter of the way up from the bottom. The Gemara says, Ela machvarta kidishonin me'ikora. The Gemara will prefer what we answered in resolution number two, diamond number two, back on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, regarding the contradiction. And there, the Gemara made a distinction between a shul that has a base dira in it, a dwelling for the Chazon HaKnesses, versus a shul that does not have a base dira in it. If it has a base dira, so it is subject to Negoyim. And if not, then no. So we now start the Gemara itself, having exposed ourselves to the layout. And, of course, this is a Gemara where we are continuing with that which we had learned at the end of our previous year. So the Gemara asks, and the question lasts a number of lines, hence you can see we have a long question marking, Udekrochim Ein Mitana B'Negoyim, is that really so that a large city shul is not subject to Negoyim? V'Hotanya, we have the following source. The Pasuk says, Achuzaschem. And that posuk is in the context of Negoyim, of Nigei Batim. And we say as follows, Achuzaschem mitama b'negoyim, v'ein Yerushalayim mitama b'negoyim. Your holding, Achuzaschem, is that land that you are in possession of. That is subject, in other words, houses there are subject to Negoyim. However, Jerusalem, the houses therein are not subject to Negoyim. Omar Vihura ani lo shamati elo mokom mikdosh bilvad. Rabbi Yehuda says that I heard only as far as the Beis HaMikdosh is not prone to Negoyim. And we infer, ha bote knesios, u bote midrashos, mitamin b'negoyim. V'afagav de krochim minhu. Shuls and yeshivas are subject to negoyim even if they are in large cities. So the Gemara responds, Amo, Om Rabbi Huda, restate Rabbi Huda as follows, Ani lo shomati, I heard only Elo mokoim mekudesh bavat, only a sanctified place as being not subject to negoyim. But what we have to emphasize is Elo mokoim mekudesh, as sanctified place, that will include shuls, as being resilient, we'll say, resistant to absorbing negoyim. So that will confirm the answer we gave regarding the stira in the previous sugya, that in fact shuls of large cities, being that they are sanctified places, so they are not going to absorb negoyim. B'mai kol miflegi, what's the point of machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan? Tanakamo sovar, the Tanakama who said there's no negoyim in Yerushalayim, he holds Yerushalayim lo yischalku l'shvotim, that Jerusalem was not divided amongst the tribes in contrast to the rest of the land of Israel. So being that it wasn't divided amongst the tribes, so it's not achuzaschem, it's not something that you are, that any one is in possession of. And negoyim affects only achuzaschem, only that which you are in possession of. So being that Jerusalem was not divided to anybody, no one is an owner, is a holder of any real estate in Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yehuda sovar Yerushalayim nischalka l'shvotim. Rabbi Yehuda holds, though, that Jerusalem was divided amongst the tribes, specifically between the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin. Ubeplukta dehani tanoi. And this issue is mirrored in the following machlokes tanoim. Now we have a long point. Notice the structure of the Gemara. We have triangles that appear in two different directions. And on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei Mivne heading, you notice the triangles. And this indicates that machlokes tanoim Yerushalayim nischalka l'shvotim. The triangle with the point facing up introduces a source indicating that it was. Later, you see an inverted triangle introducing a source, lo nishak, that it was not divided. And now let's look into the Gemara. Desanya, al ma hoya bechelkoi shel Yehuda. Now we've dashed underlined bechelkoi shel, and the next line bechelkoi shel Binyamin, showing that Jerusalem was divided amongst these two tribes. Now what was in Yehuda's chelik, in his portion? So the answer to that is Har HaBayis, HaLashochos, Vazoros, the Temple Mount, the chambers and the courtyards of the Beis HaMikdash. Umahoya b'chelko shel Binyamin, what was in Binyamin's portion? Ulam v'heichal, the Ulam is the antechamber to the enclosed section of the Beis HaMikdash, in other words, the housed structure of the Beis HaMikdash. The Heichal contains the Shulchan, the Menorah, and the Mizbeach HaZov, as well as the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Heichal and the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, those were in Binyamin's section. Uretzua hoiso yoitzo mechelko shel Yehuda v'nichneses lechelko shel Binyamin. A strip of land extended from Yehuda's region into Binyamin's section. Ubo hoyo mizbeach bonui. And on that strip, the mizbeach was located. The mizbeach of the large mizbeach in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Ubinyamin hatzadik mitzdar olel levolo b'chol yom. And Binyamin hatzadik, the son of Yankov, the youngest of the 12 tribes, he had a vision, spiritual experience, or a Ruach HaKodesh, where he saw this, that in his portion the Mizbeach would not stand. So he was upset about that. He was Hoyam Mitztair Aleihu Levola B'chol Yom. He wanted to absorb it into his portion. Shenemar Choyfeif Olav Kol Hayom. That pasuk indicates, and it's a pasuk in the context of Binyamin, in the end, at the end of the Torah, in the Parshas Vezoy Sabrocha, where each tribe is featured as being blessed, so Binyamin is described as desiring the Mizbeach to be in his section. Lefikach, because of his desire for that, so Zocha Binyamin Hatzadik V'nase Ushbiz Chon Levura, he merited being the host of the Almighty, so to speak, and that is reflected by the Oroin being in Binyamin's section. Shenema Uvenk Seifov Shochenen, he shall dwell between his shoulders. But for our purposes, because of Binyamin's great desire to have the Mizbeach in his section, so he merited having the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Oron, the Holy Ark containing the Luchos, in his possession, in his section. So this source illustrated, as we indicated, that Jerusalem was divided amongst Yehuda and Binyamin. V'hai Tana Sov Yerushalayim lo nishaku l'shvatim, and the following source will indicate that it wasn't divided. Hence we have this issue as a machloikes tanoim. The sanya ein maskirin botim b'Yerushalayim, one is not to rent houses to others in Jerusalem. L'fi she'eino shelohen, it doesn't really belong to you. You can't rent something that's not really yours. Reb Elozer Reb Shimon Omer Aflo Mitos, not even beds. And we're talking about specifically about the Oilei Regolim, when Klal Yisrael, when the nation of Israel would assemble in Jerusalem for the holidays and they needed a place to stay, so you wouldn't be able to rent out your house and charge money for the pilgrims. Lefikach, Oros Kochim, Bale Ush Bezifnin, Neutlin, Oison Bezra. Because the, we call the homeowners, and we say owners in, with a certain amount of hesitation or reservation, so the people who lived in those particular homes wouldn't be able to charge rent, but what they did do is they would take the skins of the sacrifices that all the pilgrims had slaughtered, they would take them by force in lieu of rental payment. The Rashi points out, Oros Kochim, Shel Shalmei Chagiga, V'simcha She'olim Golim Shochtin V'ochlin Sham. So they felt, as we said, they felt that they lost out on rent that they couldn't have taken, so they took these skins instead. Omar Abaye, Shema Mino, Uruch Aro, we can learn from here that it's proper etiquette, proper behavior. Le Mishbak Inish Gufo Umashcho Le Ushbize, that if a person is being hosted by someone and they're not charging you money, so it's only right for you to leave by them as a form of compensation. A gufa is a jar or a pitcher made of clay, and mashcha are skins. Ushbize is your host. So when you're being hosted by someone, leave him with something. And this might be a sort of a source for the idea of bringing gifts to people that are hosting you. Well, at this point, then, the issue of krochim, shuls in krochim, as being mekabel tumas negoyim or not. So, on Daf Yud Aleph, we mentioned that it would not be mekabel tuma. And in the discussion that we had till this point, we raised a question indicating that only the Beis Hamikdash is not mekabel tumas negoyim, but shuls would be, and we changed that pshat so as to preserve that answer, that shuls that are in krochim would not be mekabel tumas negoyim. However, we have another question on that approach. Here we're focusing now on udikforim, the shuls of villages. Udikforim mi metame benegoyim. We have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the page of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow you see way above on the top line where this had been mentioned. So is it so that a shul in a village is subject to tumas negoyim? V'hotanya le'achuza. This is in the context of negoyim. This word ad shiich b'shu osa. That it's the and with regard to the land of Israel and houses therein, they're not going to be mekabel tumo, the tumas negoyim, until you conquered it, conquered the land. What about a situation or the stage at which they conquered the land but didn't divide it to the tribes? Or they did divide it to the tribes but not to individual families. Or you have a situation where they were fairly advanced in the dividing up of the land, where families knew what portions they would get but individuals did not yet know. Minayin, from where do we know it's still not subject to Tumas Negoyim? Tamalomer uvo asher loy habayis. That, again, is a posuk in the context of Tumas Negoyim. And it says that he who is the owner of the house shall come and seek out a psak, a legal ruling regarding the status of his house and Negoyim. But we see from this posuk, Misha miyuchad loy, unto whom it is specified, it's specific, you are the specific owner, Yotza Elu, to the exclusion of any of the previous stages of land division, She'ein Miuchadim Lo, it wasn't specified as being his. So if you take a look at a shul in a village, it's not specified to one person, so that would indicate that the shul of a kfar is not subject to Tumas Negoyim, contrary to what we said at the top of the page, and as our answer number 3 in diamond number 3 on Daf Yud Aleph Amid Beis. Well, so what are we going to do with regard to the contradiction in the sources back on Yud Aleph? Elo machvarta kidishonin meikara. So it's more likely, machvarta is clearer, that we will answer like we did earlier, namely diamond number 2, which made a distinction between a shul that has a base dira in it, a dwelling for the Chazan HaKnesses, that is subject to Negoyim, and the source that indicated shuls are not subject, that's a shul that does not have a dwelling in it. Umaskinim lo koyen acher. The Gemara now deals with a case of the Kohen Gadol developing some type of disqualifying issue, which we call a psul. And the Mishnah took that into consideration, that such a thing could happen. So we have a replacement Kohen waiting in the wings for in the event that that would happen. It's important to establish that the replacement Kohen is now clearly the Kohen Gadol. And that is manifest through some type of behavior. It's not just enough that he just moves in. He's got to be clearly recognizable as a Kohen Gadol, as the high priest, before he can serve in that capacity. So the Gemara goes through that issue of how do we make it clear that he is the high priest. So on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei, our topic heading, we've written Irabo Psul B'Kohen Gadol B'Yom Kippur Acharei HaKrovas Tomit Shel Shachar. If the disqualifying factor ruining the Kohen Gadol happened on Yom Kippur after the offering of the morning daily sacrifice, how do we install into office the replacement Kohen Gadol? It's clear from our note, and it's clear in the Gemara, that if the psul happened before the offering of the Tomet Shel Shachar, then the replacement Kohen Gadol will do that. He will offer it while wearing the 8 clothing characteristic of a Kohen Gadol. So it's clear that this replacement fellow is now the Kohen Gadol, being that he's serving wearing all 8 high priestly vestments. Not so if the psul happened after the Tomet Shel Shachar, where the Kohen Gadol starts doing Yom Kippur activities. When doing Yom Kippur activities, he's wearing only 4 clothing. Now, those 4 clothing is the same number of clothing that a Kohen Hedyot would wear. So it's not clear at that point of service if that that he is the Kohen Gadol. It should be pointed out that when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash services, the activities, the avodas ha-korbonis of Yom Kippur Day, there it's mandatory for the Kohen Gadol to do all of the activities, in stark contrast to other days of the year where the Kohen Gadol has the option if he wants to do something, but otherwise any Kohen can do the avoda. Let's turn to the Gemara. Pshita, the following is obvious. Ira bo psul kodem tamid shel shachar. If the regular official Kohen Gadol developed a disqualifying factor before the offering of the morning daily sacrifice, mechanchen oisoi, the replacement Kohen Gadol will be installed or established b'tomid shel shachar, by his offering the daily morning sacrifice. And when he does so, he will wear the eight high priest clothing, and it will be clear by that that he is the Kohen Gadol. Otherwise, he wouldn't be wearing eight vestments. Elo ira bo ipsul achar tomid shel shachar. Let us say that the morning started off with the regular official Kohen Gadol being okay, and the disqualification took place after the Tomei Shel Shachar. And when we speak about disqualification, it could be that he became Tomei inadvertently. So that would disqualify him if that happened after the Tomei Shel Shachar. Bameh Mechanchen Oso. Through what will we consecrate him or establish him, install him into office in such a way that it is clear that he is the Kohen Gadol? As we mentioned before, after the Tomid Shel Shachar, then you run into the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and the Avodas Yom HaKippurim was done by the Kohen Gadol, where he too was wearing only four articles of clothing, which is the same number that a regular Kohen, a Kohen Hedyot, a common Kohen, would wear. So how is it? How are we making it clear that this replacement fellow has now become the Kohen Gadol in that event, in the event that the psul happened after the Tomid Shel Shachar? So in response to this, we have a few approaches, and notice the house marking, and it's explained on the side under the Mivneh, Hatzos, Bameh Mechanchen. These are suggestions. How do we mechanech? How do we install him into office? Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo Be'avnet. The avnet was one of the four basic clothing that a Kohen Hedyot would wear, and we're saying the Kohen Gadol is also wearing the four. However, if you're asking, will it be clear that he is the Kohen Gadol? So Rav Ado says, yes, it will be clear that even though he's wearing four articles, one of those four articles of clothing is the avnet, a type of girdle or belt that that was worn. And in answering that in the avnet, it will be clear it's because the avnet that's worn by the Kohen Gadol at that point is clearly not the avnet that a Kohen Hedyot would have worn. Now, by way of introduction to this section, we recommend looking at the note that we have on the side. You'll notice a starred note, Be'inyan Avnet. As far as the material of the Avnet, bear in mind that we have to discuss the clothing year-round and the clothing on Yom Kippur. So in the note that we've written, Deshel Kohen Gadol Yodua, as far as the material making up the belt, the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol, There is no machlokis. It's clear. It's known. What is known? So, Yemois Hashana Kilayim, that the year-round belt was made of Kilayim, a mixture of wool and linen. Now, you might ask, well, that's forbidden. It's forbidden to wear that. That's called shatnez. It's true. In general, it's forbidden. However, if the Torah dictates that it shall be made of wool and linen, then the Torah says so, and there's no more questioning. So, as far as the avnate of the Kohen Gadol year-round, it was made of kilayim. As far as the avnate of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, shabutz, it was made of linen, pure linen. The shel hedyot, the avnate of a standard Kohen, a common Kohen, that avnate material, shonui b'machlokes, is a controversy. Number one, approach one says, doime l'Kohen Gadol, Dishar Yomois Hashana, which means that the avnate of the common Kohen was the same as the avnate of the Kohen Gadol year-round. Well, what did we say about the Kohen Gadol year-round? Kilayim. There's another opinion as far as the avnate of the Kohen Hedyot, and that's number two. Eino Dome L'shal Kohen Gadol B'shar Yomois Hashana. It's different than the Kohen Gadol year-round. Dishal Kohen Gadol year-round is Kilayim. And the shel hedyot, the Kohen hedyot avnate, is pure linen. Now, when we speak about a distinction between Kohen, between year round and Yom Kippur, that change is applicable only to a Kohen Gadol. The issue right now is the Kohen Gadol, after the Tumat Shel Shachar, will be wearing the four Yom Kippur clothing. Will that belt, well, that avnate, which is definitely linen, is that different than the Kohen Hedyot avnate? So, if you say that the Kohen Hedyot avnate was kilayim, the Kohen Gadol avnate on Yom Kippur is pure linen. It looks different. It's clearly different. And hence we have what we wanted, something that would make him stand out as being a Kohen Gadol. But here's the trick. If you say that the Kohen Gadol, the replacement Kohen Gadol, is going to be clearly recognized through the avnate, that is a function of the avnate of the Kohen Gadol year-round being the same as the Kohen Hedyot, or more accurately, the Kohen Hedyot avnate is the same as the Kohen Gadol year-round, both kilayim. However, if you say that the Kohen Hedyot avnate is different than the Kohen Gadol year-round, well, we know what the Kohen Gadol year-round is. That's kilayim. So if you say that the Kohen Hedyot avnate is not like that, so you're going to be saying it's pure linen, well then on Yom Kippur, where the Kohen Gadol is wearing a pure linen avnate, he is not going to look different than the Kohen Hedyot. So according to that approach, we would still have our question. How is it clear that the Kohen Gadol replacement individual is clearly a Kohen Gadol? So let us continue in the Gemara. Rav Ada just said, if you want to know how he will be recognizable, namely the replacement person will be recognizable as the Kohen Gadol, well, that you can tell by the avnate. That even though he's wearing only four articles of clothing, because he's now doing Avodas Yom HaKippurim, as opposed to the daily type sacrifices when he's doing Yom Kippur related activities, so he wears four clothing, he will be recognizable through the avnate. Now, the Gemara says, Honicha, this recognition is true, Leman D'Omar, according to the opinion, Avneto shel Kohen Gadol, Ze hu avnetoi shel Kohen Hedyo. As we said, we already explained this, but it's a very tricky expression, because it's the opposite of what you would think. This line is saying that you'll be able to recognize the replacement man as the Kohen Gadol if you work with this shita, with this opinion that the Kohen Hedyot Avnate is the same as the Kohen Gadol Avnate year-round. That means that when it comes to Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol Avnate will be different than that of a Kohen Hedyot. because we know that the Kohen Gadol Avne year-round is Kilayim. So the Kohen Hedyot Avne will then also be Kilayim. Therefore, on Yom Kippur, you'll see a person serving with a pure linen Avne. He is clearly the Kohen Gadol. He doesn't look like a Kohen Hedyot. El Olaman, the Omar, the Gemara continues, that Avneto shel Kohen Gadol loy zehu Avneto shel Kohen Hedyot. But the opinion that says that the Kohen Hedyot Avne was different than the Kohen Gadol Avne year-round. The Kohen Gadol Avne year-round, as we said before, was Kilayim. The Kohen Hedyot Avne is not like that, according to this opinion. That would make the Kohen Hedyot Avne linen or boots. Then when it comes to the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, he's also wearing a boots, a linen avne. He looks ma'ikol lemeimar. The question is, what are we going to say now? The Kohen Gadol looks like a Kohen Hedyot in the avne. Omar Abaye. Abaye explains what we will do. According to this particular approach, there is still a way to have the replacement Kohen Gadol stand out. What he'll do is, we know we're after the Tumid Shoshacha was slaughtered and the limbs were put on the altar. You know what this replacement fellow is going to do? Loive Shmoina. He'll put on the 8 high priestly vestments. Umahapech Betzinura Uchderavuna. And he will flip over the limbs of the Tumid. The Tumid was a Korban Oila that was placed on the Mizbech. It means all of the limbs are still in the fire at this point. What he'll do, this replacement fellow, will put on the 8 clothing of a Kohen Gadol, making him look clearly as a Kohen Gadol. He'll go up to the top of the Mizbeach and flip over, Mahapich, flip over. But Sinura is a long fork. He'll flip over the meat, the limbs that are in the fire, and based on Rav Huna's teaching, Yom Rav Huna, Zar Shehofach B'tzinur Chayav Misa, a non-Kohen who would do that to a sacrifice, would be guilty of a serious offense, meaning that would be an example of a zar, a non-kohen, doing avodas hamikdash, and that's strictly forbidden. But through this teaching of Rav Huna, I understand that flipping over meat is a significant action. Therefore, it's something that lends itself to the Kohen Gadol operating, and if he does, it'll be, and he's wearing the 8 garments, it'll be clear that this is the Kohen Gadol doing, he's a Kohen Gadol doing an avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. That will be the method of being mechanech him, establishing him. That's his installation, so to speak. And that can take place, as we said before, even though the Tamid Shel Shachar was already offered, the limbs are still in the fire, and he can do this while wearing the 8 garments. Rav Papa Omar, Rav Papa, a third approach says, Avoidosoi mechan chosoi. The mere fact that the Kohen Gadol replacement man is doing the Yom Kippur service, the Yom Kippur service has a number of unique features that are done only on Yom Kippur, and he is doing it, that is his installation. It's basically, we can say, simultaneous. His installation is simultaneous with his action, his activity. Being that Avodas Yom Kippur is kosher only through the Kohen Gadol, the one that we see doing it, it must be, he is the Kohen Gadol. Mi lo tanya, do we not have the following source? Kol hakelim shosa Moshe, the Beis HaMikdash vessels that Moshe Rabbeinu made, mishichoson mikachoson, his anointing of them, they were smeared with oil, that sanctified them. Mikan ve'elech, but beyond that, avodoson mechan choson, their use is that which consecrates them. Hochanami, so too, with regard to the replacement Kohen Gadol as being installed into office, avodaso milchan choso, his action in the Beis HaMikdash, his Beis HaMikdash service, is that which consecrates him. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a note on the side, the Nosei, machloikis tanoim, a Tanaic controversy, mima osli avneto shel Kohen Hedyot. What is the material from which the Kohen Hedyot belt is made? On the side, we have under our Mivneh heading an inverted house marking Ki Osa Rav Dimi and later Ravin. When Rav Dimi or Ravin, when they arrive, they will be speaking on this topic. And it's important to note, B'Gemara D'Lefonenu Ein Hevdel Bein Rav Dimi the Ravin. As we go through the sukkahs here, there's no qualitative difference between Rav Dimi and Ravin. All that you will notice is that Ravin's presentation is a bit clearer, a bit more spelled out, but as far as practical difference between them, there is none. This point you can see in Rashi. So we continue with the Gemara, four lines from the top. Ki osa Rav Dimi Omar, when Rav Dimi arrived, he said, Avneto shel kohen hedyot, Rebbe verbalozer Rebbe Shimon. We have two Tanoim arguing as to the material of the Avnet of the kohen hedyot. Chad Omar shel kilayim, v'chad Omar shel boots. One says it's made of a mixture of wool and linen, and the other says it's boots pure linen. In this presentation, with regard to Rav Dimi's presentation, he doesn't say who holds what. When we get to Ravin's presentation, he will spell out Rebbe holding that it's made of kilayim and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon saying that it's made of linen. As far as Rav Dimi's presentation, we have to figure out on our own who says what, and that's what the Gemara does in the next number of lines. Structurally, we'll have a long point, and then there will be a rejection or a Gemara will, let's say, bring into question this particular point. So let's continue. Tistayim the Rebbe who the Amar Shel Kilayim. Let us conclude that Rebbe is of the opinion that the Kohen Hedyot Avnet is made of linen, that he is the Chad Omar Shel Boots. No, let's correct ourselves, that he is the one that says it is Kilayim. Tisanya, we have a Tanaic source. Ein bein kohen gadol l'kohen hedyot ela avnet divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says there is only the avnet is a difference between them, between the kohen gadol and the kohen hedyot. Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon Omer af lo avnet. Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon says not even the avnet. Amos, when is this source speaking? In nemo b'shari mos hashana. If this source is referring to during the rest of the year, well, tufa ika, there's a lot of difference between the kohen gadol and the kohen hedyot. And this source is, you have Rebbe saying only the avnet is a point of difference. For goodness sakes, kohen gadol mishamish b'shmoina v'hedyot b'arba. The kohen gadol wears eight garments. There are four additional garments that the kohen gadol has that the kohen hedyot does not have, being that the hedyot, the common kohen, serves b'arba only with four. So this source wouldn't be applicable to Shari Mos Hashana. Elolav b'yom HaKippurim. Notice the use of the double underliner simply stages in trying to understand what the source is talking about. So this second stage says it must be talking about Yom Kippur. Now let's work this out. There is a given, as we said earlier, that the Yom Kippur Kohen Gadol Avnet is boots. That's clear. In Rebbe's statement, he said that the point of difference will be the Avnet. The Kohen Gadol was made of boots. That's a given. So in the source, Rebbe is saying that the Kohen Hedyot's Avnet is different. The result is that according to Rebbe, the Kohen Hedyot is Kilayim. And if you just go back a few lines, we had Chad Omar Shel Kilayim. The Gemara said, let's conclude that Rebbe is that opinion. Well, we just said it. Amri Lo, that's not so. Lo'olam Bishar Yemois HaShana. This source is in fact referring to the rest of the year. And the rest of the year, it's known that the Kohen Gadol's Avnet is Kilayim. And now, in the source, you're telling me that Rebbe says the Kohen Hedyot is different. The result would be that Rebbe will tell you that the Kohen Hedyot will be linen. But you'll ask, what about the fact that the Kohen Gadol has eight garments, and the Kohen Hedyot has only four, so there's much more difference than just the Afne. So the Gemara says, this source is interested only in Bahanoch, Ubanoch Deshovin. We take a look at Rashi, Bahanoch Deshovin, right across from here. Ba'oison Begodim, Shishneim Shovin Bohem, Dainu Ksoinus, Umichosayim, Witznefes, Viavne. There, of the eight garments that the Kohen Gadol wears, four of them are the same as would be by the Kohen Hedyo. The name, and Rashi listed them, the Ksoines, the Michnas Ksoines, a type of shirt, Michnasayim pants, Mitznefes, a hat, and the Avnet, the belt. So, Ein Beneim, Elo Avnet. Only with regard to the things they have in common, both have an Avne, the Kohen Gadol's Avne and the Kohen Hedyot's Avne will be different. Ki also Rovin, Omar, Avneto shel Kohen Gadol, B'yom HaKippurim, Divrei HaKol shel Butz, U'b'shari Moshe Shona Divrei HaKol shel Kilayim. As far as the Kohen Gadol Avne, on Yom Kippur everyone agrees it's made of linen. The rest of the year, everyone agrees. Kohen Gadol Avnet is made of Kilayim. Lo nechluku elo be'avneto shel Kohen Hedyot bein b'shari Moshe Hashanah bein b'yom Kippurim. The machlokes tanoim revolves around the Kohen Hedyot Avnet all the time. In other words, all the time we mean the rest of the year and Yom Kippur. It's the same thing. There isn't a special clothing for a Kohen Hedyot on Yom Kippur. So, what is the Kohen Hedyot Avnet made of? Shirebi Omer, Shel Kilayim. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shel Butz. Omer Rav Nachman, Bar Yitzchok, Af Anan Nami Tanina. We have a Tanaic source that bears this out, because up till now, it was essentially Rovin reporting that that's Rebbe's position. Now let's see this in a Tanaic source. The source opens up with a pasuk dealing with Trumas HaDeshen. Trumas HaDeshen is the removal of ash from the fireplace on the top of the Mizbeach, and it's being brought down to the floor of the Azorah and placed there next to the ramp. So it says, regarding that process, Al Besaro, Ma Tamulomar Yilbash, it says that he's going to wear the clothing on his flesh. Why does the Torah add the word Yilbash? And Rashi points out that the Pasuk already mentioned Vilavash. It already said that he shall wear the clothing. So this word Yilbash that appears in the continuation of the Pasuk would appear to be extraneous. So he says, Lahavi mitznefes v'avnei la'aroma sadeshen, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The word Yilbash tells me that in addition to the Ksonis and Michnasayim, he's also going to wear the Mitznefes and Avnet. And this is not talking, by the way, about a Kohen Gadol. This is talking about he who does the Trumas Hadeshen, this ash removal ceremony. He who does that shall wear four clothing. You have the Ksonis and the Michnasayim, Mitznefes and Avnet. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Dosa Omer, Lahavi Bigdei Kohen Gadol B'yom HaKippurim Shein Ksherim L'Kohen Hedyot. The Rabbi Dosa's approach is that this teaches us that the Bigdei Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur, which were made of linen, are kosher for a Kohen Hedyot. And as far as Rabbi Dos is concerned, the Bigdei Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur don't need to be a Begnizah, they don't need to be buried away. The only restriction that exists, as far as he is concerned, is not to use those Kohen Gadol clothing for another Kohen, for another Yom Kippur. However, a Kohen Hedyot could wear them. So that's Rabbi Dos's approach. Rebbe Omer, Shtei Tshuvos Bodover. Rebbe says there are two objections to what Rabbi Dosa just said as far as what the Pasuk teaches me, namely that a Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur set of clothing can be used by a Kohen Hedyot. What are the problems with that approach? Number one, Chara, the Avneto Shel Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim Lo Zehu Avneto Shel Kohen Hedyot. the Yom Kippur Avne, we know of a Kohen Gadol, we know is made of boots. That's not acceptable for a Kohen Hedyot Avnate, because a Kohen Hedyot Avnate is Kilayim. That's Rebbe's approach. This is why we brought in this source. This support to what Ravin had taught, that according to Rebbe, Kohen Hedyot Avnate is in fact Kilayim. The Oid, a second objection to Rebbe Dosa, Rebbe says, Begodim Shinishtamsha Bahen Kedusha Chamura, clothing that were used for an intense level sanctity activity, namely Yom Kippur activity, to shamesh v'en kedusha kalar, do you think you're going to be able to use it for a light level daily Beis Hamikdash activity? In other words, that's a wrong thing to do. We have a concept known as malin b'kodesh v'lo moridin, that we ascend to higher levels of sanctity, but we don't descend. Ela ma tamal lomar yulbash. So what do we use, or what do we determine or learn from that extra word, yulbash? L'rabois es hashchokin, that even clothing that are worn out are still kosher, still suitable for wearing in service in the Beis HaMikdash. V'yozda, Rabbi Dosa l'tameh, Rabbi Dosa is consistent with what he has said elsewhere. Desanya, now here is a source with a pasuk from the big day regarding the big day Yom Kippur. It says, "V'nicham sham, malamed shetunim geniza." The Tanakhama says this teaches us that Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur clothing must be put away, put out of service. Geniza literally means has to be something that's hidden away or buried. Rabbi Doisomer shelo yishtamish bohen Yom Kippurim acher. All that exists as a restriction, as the prohibition of using them, the four Yom Kippur garments of the Kohen Gadol, on another Yom Kippur. And this we pointed out earlier when we learned Rabbi Dosa in the preceding source. Tanu Rabbanan, Irabo Psul Uminu Acher Tachtov. A psul developed in the Kohen Gadol, and a replacement person was appointed. What happens in the course of time when the disqualifying factor of the original Kohen Gadol disappeared? On the side, we have our topic heading, the Nosei, Kohen Gadol Shira Bo Psul. Memanim Sheni Tachtov, we appoint a second person to replace him. Ma Dino Shelhai Sheni Achare Chazarosu Shel Rishon. What is the law regarding this replacement man after the original one returns to his office? So the source addresses that, and we'll start the source again. Ira Bobsul Uminu Achare Tachtov. A disqualifying factor afflicted the first Kohen Gadol, a replacement person was appointed, and now this source is terse, so you're not seeing here that the psul afflicting the Kohen Gadol departed. He comes back, so it says Rishon Chozer Lavodaso, the original fellow returns to his office. Sheni Kol Mrs. Kuna Gadol Olav Divrei Rabbi Meir. As far as the replacement Kohen Gadol, he retains the status of Kohen Gadol. There are numerous areas of halacha that are affected by that statement, but Rashi goes through some of them. On the third line under the Gemara text, Mitzvah Kuna Gedola Lov, Lo Poreh V'Lo Poreim, he is not allowed to tear his clothing. And he's Lo Poreas, he's not allowed to let his hair grow, and he's not allowed to rend his clothing. Ve'enu mitame likroivim, he's not allowed, in the event that a close relative dies, he's not allowed to attend their funeral in the context of becoming tomei to them. He umuzer almono umishamesh b'shmeinim godim, he's not allowed to marry a widow, nor is, and when he does service in the Beis HaMikdash, he too shall wear 8 articles of clothing. That's Rebbe Meir's approach. So that as far as Rebbe Meir is concerned, the replacement fellow stays in the Kohen Gadol position. So in effect, according to Rebbe Meir, you'll have two people serving as Kohen Gadol or appearing as a Kohen Gadol. Rebbe Yossi Omer, Rishon Chozer Avodaso, just like Rebbe Meir said, the original fellow goes back, he was returned to his post. Sheni Eino Roy Lolo Kohen Gadol Lolo Kohen Hetiot. However, the replacement fellow is not fit to be a Kohen Gadol, nor can he return to being a Kohen Hetiot, which will be explained. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Maisa B'Yosef Ben Elam Mitzipori Shira B'Psul B'Kohen Gadol. An incident happened in the time of this gentleman Yosef Ben Elam, where the Kohen Gadol was disqualified. Uminu Tachtov. And they appointed Yosef ben Elam to be the replacement. The Omru Chachomim, Rishon Chozer Avodaso, with the psul departing from the original fellow, he goes back to his position. Sheni Eino Roy, Lo Lekayin Gadol, Lo Lekayin Hedyot. The replacement fellow, in this particular story, it would be Yosef ben Elam, he is not fit to be a Kohen Gadol, nor a common Kohen. Kohen Gadol Mishum Eva, he cannot serve as a Kohen Gadol, because that will cause Eva, ill feelings or strife. The official Kohen Gadol will see a competitor. So we don't want that situation of Eva, of strife or strain. So we say that the replacement one cannot continue serving as a Kohen Gadol. And Kohen Hedyot, he cannot serve as a Kohen Hedyot either, wearing just four articles of clothing and doing service that way, Mishumalin B'Kodesh V'Lomerudim, because of the concept we mentioned earlier, that we ascend in sanctity, and this person had risen to the level of Kohen Gadol, V'Lomerudim, we don't descend. So he's stuck in limbo, so to speak, as far as this approach is concerned. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a double underline. You can see highlighting the names Rabbi Yochanan and at the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Rav, where both of them react to this Machlokas Tanoim. Omar Rabo Bar Barchan, Om Rabbi Yochanan. We continue at the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Halacha Rabbi Yossi. The ruling is like that of Rabbi Yossi, which said that the replacement one is in limbo. Umoyde Rabbi Yossi will concede she'im ovar the ovad avadosu k'shera, even though he said that the replacement man does not serve as Kohen Gadol, but if he did put on the eight articles of clothing and serve and do avodas beis hamikdash, it's okay, it's kosher, it's acceptable. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Halach Rabbi Yossi. Likewise, like Rabbi Yochanan said, we rule like Rabbi Yossi, the replacement Kohen being in limbo. Umoyde Rabbi Yossi, she'emes rishon, she'chozer avodaso. Rabbi Yossi will concede that in the event that the original Kohen Gadol, who returned to office, dies, then this Sheni fellow, this fellow who had been his replacement, he becomes the Kohen Gadol. Pshita, well, that would be obvious. Do I really need Rav to inform us that Rabbi Yossi will concede to this point? After all, the only reason for his not being qualified was the Eva issue, was the strain, the competition factor. Well, with the first Kohen Gadol no longer alive, that falls away. So it's obvious that the second one goes back. So the Gemara says it's not so obvious. Mahu detema haviolei tzora mechayim. You might have said that we're not going to allow this second, the replacement Kohen Gadol, to go back to office under any circumstance, because that would create what's called a tzora mechayim. The Rashi explains that would create a situation where the replacement fellow is looking at the original Kohen Gadol, just wondering, when is he going to die and I'll be able to take over? And that would be a source, once again, of strain. So I would think that in order to preempt that situation, we tell him, look, buddy, even when the first Kohen Gadol dies, you are not going to take over. So the Gemara says, that's what I might have thought. Komash Malon, that's what Reb Yossi, and that's what Rav is telling us, that Reb Yossi concedes, that in the event the original Kohen Gadol dies, second one does take over, and I don't worry about this consideration called Sora Mechayim. The Rashi, by the way, for the first few lines of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, the Rashis that are relevant are found at the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis. Let's glance there, three lines from the bottom. Mahu Detema Mishum Eva Nafsil Afli Achar Misas Rishon. Because of the Eva concern, we should disqualify the replacement fellow from returning to Kohen Gadol stewardship. The Amris Yishamesh Achrov, if you allow him or you say that he does take over, Havio Leit Tzora Mechayim, becomes a Tzora while he's still alive. Ki Isha Shitzora Lechaverta, like a situation where you have two wives, co-wives, the co-wife is called a Tzora. The Omar Ze mitzape mosa yomus v'yishameshu, because that will engender the feeling within the Kohen Gadol, the official Kohen Gadol, the original Kohen Gadol, feeling that the second fellow, the replacement one, is waiting for me to die, and that will cause a feeling of enmity. So komash v'lon de lo chashino, and that's what Rav is telling us, that we don't take that, we don't go that far in our concerns of emotional reactions. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.